So, as we heard earlier, lead paint was finally banned for home use in 1978, but it's still a hazard. To find out more about what can be done, I spoke with Janine Zappa, Executive Director of Conservation Consultants, Inc. It's a nonprofit that works with homeowners on energy efficiency and recently added lead paint testing to their services. Give me an idea of how big a problem lead paint is.
So lead paint is still the leading cause of lead poisoning for people in this country. It's not just confined to urban areas, although you may see a higher concentration of it there simply because of the density of housing. But really, lead paint is tied to the age of the building. And in homes that were built before 1940, about 87% of them have a statistical likelihood of having some lead paint present in that home. As the homes get younger, so to speak, the risk goes down, but it doesn't rule it out.
So who should have their home tested for lead?
Our suggestions are in line with those of the EPA, which has this great handout on their website that's, you know, should my home be tested? It's a one-pager. And really the key things are if there's a child under the age of 6 in your home, you really want to give serious consideration because those are a population that is at great health risk should there be exposure to lead. If you're planning to do some renovations to your home, because it will create dust when you're sawing or sanding, you know, if you're hiring a contractor and your house is older and you're going to disturb that paint, you know, don't use a heat gun. It will exacerbate the issue of lead paint exposure. Even drilling a hole in your wall to put a painting or hang something on your wall can create enough lead paint dust that you're creating a hazard. You'll be ingesting it, particularly if you have your food or your drink exposed. You've got your cup of coffee there, and the next thing you're doing is sanding. That's really not a great idea at all.
So how does the lead test work? What's the process, and what kind of tools do you use?
In your home, you really want to be looking for any area where there is chipped paint or evidence of paint dust that is built up by that paint just deteriorating over time. What we do when we go in to test is we will collect samples if there is actually flaked paint. And we can also take water and soil samples, and all three have to be sent to an accredited lab for chemical analysis for testing. But we'll also take typically dust swipes. And you want to have at least 3 or 4 samples to evaluate so that your results are valid. And you typically want to take samples from a couple of different areas as well, right? I might be taking from the windowsill. I might be taking from down along the baseboard, wherever that dust might be likely to accumulate, and particularly where a toddler is likely to play and put their fingers in their mouth. The other thing that we do in the house is we use a specialized piece of equipment commonly called an XRF device. XRF stands for X-ray Fluorescence Analyzer. And it's just a specialized piece of diagnostic equipment that uses a low-level radioactive isotope in the equipment to actually measure the information that comes back on the chemical array from the paint composition to determine if there is lead in it. And we can get an answer right then and there on the spot and tell the homeowner, but we also provide a comprehensive report afterward, as does anybody who does this kind of testing.
If there are layers of paint, it kind of looks at all of the layers?
It does. It actually goes down to the base layer and all the layers that have been added on top of that.
Once you get the lead test back and you have reached the threshold where there needs to be action taken, what happens next?
If you have kids, you really want to get them retested. They were probably tested in their early pediatric visits, but you want to have that blood lead level testing done for you and your family members. And then depending upon the degree of, let's say, the problem, because we're finding the problem may not exist in every single room. So you want to tackle the areas where you have the highest lead, and your ability to do so is something you may be able to take care of yourselves. There's some really great guidelines, again, offered by EPA, about how to protect yourself and the residents of your household. Pretty simple steps that you can take. You know, you don't always have to get rid of all the lead paint. What you have to do is contain it.
How do you do that?
So, and with the caveat that we are not lead paint remediators, you want to remove first children from the home before you do this. That is the number one caveat that I would offer, is you don't want to be doing any kind of lead paint cleanup or remediation while you have children under 6 in particular. But really, I would just offer the guidance, if you have kids, get them out of the house. You want to be wearing a significant filtering mask for yourself, probably some protective garments, just the disposable zip-on suits that you can buy at any local hardware, and gloves. And then you want to use a HEPA vacuum and vacuum up any of the paint chips and dust. So get rid of any of the visible dust, bag it, and securely dispose of it. Don't just dump it into a bin. You want to use wet sanding where you can. So you want to wipe it up, contain it, much like somebody who has allergens may be used to using a wet dusting method. It's pretty similar. So once you've removed, you know, the visible stuff that's in the area, then you want to paint over it, right? You know, if the surface is prepared enough that you can do that, you can simply paint over it and that will contain that lead paint exposure. Because what you don't want is it to continue to degrade and chip and flake and turn into dust. Now, if your problem is so significant that you're down to bare wood, you're really going to need a more professional grade remediation, and you should find a qualified contractor who's going to use lead safe practices.
CCI just started offering this lead testing. Why and why now?
So lead has really been a problem for a long time, but the only silver lining, and I will emphasize only, in the national lead water crisis is that people are paying attention again to lead in their homes. Lead exposure from whether it's soil or water or paint are really important home health considerations. So that's really one big reason. And the other is that increasingly in what we do, in what we like to talk about as whole home performance, so how your house works together as a system, we are finding increasingly across the country, there's really an intersection of home health with home energy. And you really can't tighten up a house without thinking about lead exposure or radon, which is also, as you know, a pretty important issue. We're sitting on top of a radon hotspot in our portion of the country, and mold. And we also have a lot of moisture issues. And we serve lower income households primarily in the work that we do. And we're in about 3,000 to 3,500 homes each year. And roughly 30% of the homes in which we do a whole house energy audit, we find have a moisture issue of some sort in the basement. That can precipitate a whole bunch of other kinds of issues, including, by the way, causing paint to peel and pop off. And many times it is, unfortunately, lead-based paint. So we feel there's a responsibility for us in what we're doing to really think about the consequences of the entire cycle of how those pieces work together in a house.
Janine Zappa is executive director of Conservation Consultants, Inc., a nonprofit offering home lead testing. We should say that CCI's lead testing initiative is funded in part by the Heinz Endowments, and so is the Allegheny Front. There's more on lead paint remediation at hiddenpoison.org. This is the Allegheny Front. I'm Carol Holsapple.